You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto, and we are so glad you are joining us this fine Thursday evening. Art Factora, are we not?
Yeah, absolutely.
What makes you happy today? What's making you happy in your life these days, Art?
I set up my 88-year-old grandmother's Facebook account.
Shut up.
I'm serious. And it is awesome because she...
Make her my friend. Make her my friend.
It's like talking to a caveman before they found fire.
Is she enjoying it or is she afraid of it?
No, she is enjoying it. She knew about it because she lives with my aunt, and my aunt has 17-year-old granddaughters. So she knows of it, and she's seen the grandkids play on it. And I think that what she likes is that there's still a whole bunch of relatives in the Philippines, and a lot of them have embraced social media. They've got smartphones, and so they're posting pictures of like her great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren. And she, you know, nobody sends pictures in the mail anymore,
no.
So it's the only way for her to see it, but yeah. She has no account, and her my 17-year-old grand or cousins are obviously too self-involved to spend a few minutes to show her
the
pictures.
Good for you. Now, will you make what's your grandma's name? Well, first of all, what do you call grandmas in Filipino?
Lola.
Lola. Okay. Will you make your Lola my friend?
I will.
I want Lola to be my friend.
You want? All right, but no posting any inappropriate comments.
Are you my friend on Facebook?
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen an inappropriate comment
from
me?
I'm just saying, perhaps maybe you're like, okay, well, now that there's an 88-year-old grandma out there
She might be my oldest friend at that point there.
Well, I'll let her know. I'm sure that's something that she doesn't want to be proud of.
Okay.
No women ever want to be proud to be the oldest in anything.
You never know.
True. Maybe she is at the point where she holds it like a badge of honor.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty good. Well, good for you and Lola.
Yeah, I can't wait until she discovers like Angry Birds and
and she starts playing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then just, that's
Crush.
It. Candy Crush. Yeah. When she discovers Candy Crush, it's all over.
Lola has invited you to Gangster Wars.
The zombie fight. Yeah. Plants versus zombies.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I wish I'd done something. I had an interesting week this last week. I had two talks to give, but the most interesting talk was the Pacific Federal Council, which is a federal an amalgamation of a whole bunch of different federal departments, had a social media learning day because the Exchequer has mandated federal employees to embrace social media, which is fascinating. When we stop and think about it.
Hold on. Fascinating in comparison to what? Like paint drying or?
No, well, see, because, well, if you've ever done any business with the federal government, and, they're so locked down as far as how they communicate with the public. You know, everything has to go through channels. It all has to be approved. All of a sudden, there's this culture shift happening in our federal government where they're saying, now, to be fair, a large part of the social media that they're going to engage in is not going to be outward-looking. It's going to be inward-looking. It's going to be using, communicating with other federal departments and other federal employees. But there's going to be an awful lot of leakage and an awful lot of looking out. But just seeing the eyes of all of these different federal employees who have their entire working career been kind of cautious, mm-hmm. I guess would be the most politically correct way of putting it.
No pun intended.
Yes. But they... all of a sudden now they're being presented with, okay, you can have a Twitter account, you can have your Facebook account, you can start to share stuff. And it's I kind of liken it to parents talking to their kids saying, Mom and I were talking and we decided that we want you to embrace this automobile thing. Now, we don't exactly know how it works. We don't exactly know what you should be doing with it, but we want you to stay safe. Now, go and drive. And so that's kind of the position that they're in. But they're taking it on. Obviously, they did a brilliant first step by hiring me to come out and speak to them about social media.
So what's the median age of the group that you spoke to? Like I'm assuming that the
not as old as you think. Not as old. There's a lot of young people. There was a lot of young people that I saw there. You know, there was people. I guess the oldest people were in their 60s in the room. But I would say the median age was probably in the 40s.
Okay, so they're not necessarily
Gen Xers, I would say.
But they're not necessarily like the typical Twitter age
generation.
Though. Yeah, maybe Facebook, but not Twitter.
Yeah, and the fact of it is, you know, because of their employ, they've had to be cautious about engaging in any, you know, in anything. And the conversations that they were having were fascinating, you know, just about, you know, what they could do with Twitter and how it was being positioned.
Canadian politicians on Twitter, I could just imagine them just like tweeting each other, just saying sorry.
A lot of politicians have been embracing it for quite some time, as we know, but in their political life. Mm-hmm. But they open themselves up for lots of criticisms in different areas. And the bottom line is, you know, it's going to be interesting over the next few years, because if they start using it, they're going to make mistakes. That's going to happen. You know, they're going to stub their toe occasionally. And so I actually spent a lot of time talking about damage control, about what to do when you do something wrong, because they are going to do something wrong, and how you embrace that in the online world. And you know what? You know the best philosophy there, Art? Well, best thing is to not screw up. But if you do, it's every mistake is just an opportunity.
Good point.
It's not, yeah, but it is. I mean, it's an opportunity for them to
get their name in the paper.
To get their name in. But you know what? If you mess up on Twitter and you say, "Hey, I made a mistake," the community actually forgives you pretty fairly if you make a mistake. It's when you try and defend yourself and you try and, you know,
or hide it.
When we run away or blame somebody else. Oh, my account was hacked. When you do that kind of thing, that's when they kind of go after you. So, hey, it's App Thursday. We are darned excited. It's App Thursday. And we've got our regulars are all busy. Isaac Kendall is teaching catechism tonight, believe it or not. David Hathaway has a new girlfriend that's meeting mom tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, that should be pretty exciting.
Wow.
For Hath. Am I oversharing? Rebecca's been called away in a family emergency.
I wonder
sadly.
When he'll allow the girl to meet his cats.
Yes.
Because his cats are probably the next step above parents.
I can actually say, because I've met the girl, that she has met the cats.
Oh, okay. Well.
Pretty serious.
Those are the ones
pretty
you want to impress.
So we've got you.
Yep.
We've got John Beeler.
Yep.
So I'm not a regular?
You are the regular.
Well, you just said all the regulars are busy.
Well, all the good regulars are
busy. Ouch.
So, well, and Hathaway was so looking forward to coming back and just lording over everybody with his victory of last year.
Well, I'm glad he's not here.
Yeah, I know you're glad he's not here. Mr. Second Place. So close. How many votes?
10, 11. 11. Well, you said 10. But
okay, you were 11 votes from winning. From being able to say,
I'd say a recount, because Hathaway is the back door to the server.
Actually, so. Hathaway could get into the server, but I.
How do you think he won?
I know how he won.
I think we should recount the hanging chads. Remember that? Okay, no.
Hanging what?
It was.
You're talking about little people?
No, never mind. It was the Florida.
Okay, we're welcoming two new participants. We're welcoming Sean Kennedy, who's a freelance consultant on all things internet related and email related, and he writes a fascinating blog, which he often talks about. Apps in. Sean, welcome.
Thank you.
And joining us, an old friend on Dottotech, but new to this particular contest, Mike Vardy from Victoria. Mike?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Mike is a really competitive guy, I have to tell you. Now, Beeler's competitive, but Mike is super competitive, and he is ready for bear because his Cincinnati Bengals blew it in the playoffs.
Mike and I are drinking buddies, though, so...
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We have a thing for certain types of beer.
Everybody's Mike's drinking buddy.
That's true.
If you breathe, you're Mike's drinking buddy. Sorry, Mike, are we speaking out of school?
Unless it's drinking school, then no.
Okay. Well, should we jump into the first round of apps?
Let's make it happen.
Should we make it happen? So let's let John Beeler lead the way out today with his first app. Ooh. For this App Thursday. So, John, what do you got for us?
I have an Android app.
An Android app?
Yes.
That's the first loser of the day.
Well, let's just say you might want an Android after you see this app.
Okay.
It's called Cover.
Cover.
For Android. And what it is, it's basically a customized lock screen for your Android device.
Oh, okay.
And you install it, and then it sort of monitors how you're using your apps, and it bubbles your most used apps to your lock screen. And then once you're on your lock screen, you have easy access to them, and you can just swipe, and you're there. You also have to unlock if you have a passcode and stuff as well. But once you've done that, then boom, I'm in my browser. or whatever the frequently used apps are. And it, you can control what shows up on the lock screen. It's just a really nice, quick way to get at your most used things. So, you know, like with the iPhone and a lot of the smartphones on the Android side now, the biggest thing people want to be able to do is, I got to take a picture right now. So they made the camera really easy to access. But what if you really want to Facebook something or you really want to tweet
something?
That's
what you always do.
Yeah. So this gives you the ability to really quickly have access to those apps.
It's interesting because I know when I use my iPhone that as soon as I unlock the screen, the first thing I do by habit is double tap on the home button to call up all of the active apps underneath where so I can basically quick select.
Yeah.
So this is a more elegant way to do that.
What's really interesting about it is it actually analyzes how, what apps you're using. So if you're always, like for me, I'm always in Gmail, it looks like. I'm in the Play Store, Instagram, and an app that I might talk about later, so I won't mention its name right now. But, but yeah, so it just sort of keeps track of what you're currently into or what's running in the background.
And if you see Candy Crush, Angry Birds, and then you realize that you're probably using your phone for too many games.
Yes.
As
you can also customize it, which is, this is really cool too. You can set up your home, your work, and your car modes for it. So depending on where geolocation you are, it will switch to different sets of apps.
And it recognizes it based on where you are.
Where you are, or if you're plugged in into your car, say, and you're on the move, it'll know that you're in car mode. And you can also create custom wallpapers for that lock screen that are associated with each different mode.
Okay.
And it's free.
Custom lock screen.
That's pretty slick.
Yeah.
It's a good start. It's a good start. Okay, Art Factora. Let's bring all the veterans to the fore to start, and then we'll go to the rookies.
All right. Well, my first app, according to the iTunes Store, just launched a week ago, and it is called Horizon Shoot and Share Horizontal Videos. I think as a comedian, I sometimes will record my shows, or just, you know, I've got nieces and nephews, and I sometimes when they're funny or doing something stupid, I love taking videos in the hopes that I will, you know, post it on YouTube. The worst is because I forget. Like, sometimes you have it hold it up, and sometimes you hold it to the side, and then when you download the video, you realize that you did the stupid thing of filming it upside down or on the side. Horizontal shoot and share videos will parallel to the ground, so then even if you, it's also for shaky. If you got shaky hands, it will stabilize your video, and you will never have the issue of having to fix it in post-production.
So what this is does it take and rotate video if you shot it vertical?
Yes. It's
like
all,
a Vine video?
Yes, it will always keep it
Always keep it square.
Yes.
It automatically cleans. I noticed in YouTube, by the way, just as a complete aside, I posted a video this week, and I noticed that YouTube said, "We notice your video is a little bit shaky. Would you like us to stabilize it?" And what it wasn't actually, it was due to the editing that it looked shaky, so it wasn't actually shaky. But it asked if it wanted to stabilize it, which I thought was fascinating. But yours is called Horizon Shoot and Share Video?
Yes. It is $1.99, but that's 50% off. It's 50% off right now if you get it now. Like I said, it's only been out for a week.
One of the sort of evil things on the internet to some people, I may be in this camp, is vertical video. I hate watching vertical video. I understand when your kid's running around and you're shooting, it's much easier and stable to hold it that way, but my TV doesn't sit on its side. My iPhone doesn't sit on its side. Put it like everybody else. So this app, though, you have to pay for it, makes it so everything is that way.
Thank you, John.
It won't. It'll correct me if I'm wrong. If you've shot vertical video, it will leave it vertical, but it'll just square it up.
No, it says that...
Well, does it crop it?
That I don't know. I haven't recorded a video yet.
Oh, so you're putting forward an app that you actually haven't
tested,
used, because you're too cheap to buy it.
Well, it's a dollar. I'm hoping you guys will
Art.
Leave me
there. Art! Art.
As I leap into the lead.
Art.
I'm not the only one. Everyone is. I Googled it. Everyone's loving it. Everyone's loving it.
Oh, I didn't know that was part of the rules, so we can pick whatever.
Okay. Art's Horizon Shoot and Share video might be good. He's never used it. He just wants us to use it. Okay, let's go.
I'm just throwing it out there for you people.
Mike, since you were ready to leap into the fray, what have you got for us?
I've got an app that is actually available on more platforms than you could probably count. It's available for, it's web-based. It's available for Android, iOS, Windows, and it's also got some plugins for also Mac OS, but also like Chrome, Firefox. It's Todoist.
Ah, yes. I thought you might have a productivity app.
So the thing about this app, I'm generally an iOS user, but the thing about this app that I really like is that it's got ubiquity across all these platforms. And if somebody's now got an Android device and that kind of thing, I was really looking forward to seeing what they were going to do. And then this week they released what they call Todoist Next. And now you can collaborate within it, okay? So you can actually share. If you're a freemium user, you can invite 5 people to a project. So you can have 6 people working on a project together. There's real-time sync for everybody, so you don't really need to worry about syncing those things. You can have discussions. There's a visual scheduling thing. So if you're looking at a task, instead of having to reassign a date or whatever to it, you can just click on the postpone to tomorrow button. It's really a really cool streamlined design. And again, the big thing for me is that it's I can use it no matter where I am, whether it's whatever device I'm using. It's fantastic. The delegation aspects are there. And, I mean, just to put things in a bit of perspective, Wunderlist, which is very popular, it costs $49 per year per user. Todoist is free for everyone on every platform. It's crazy. Now, they do have a premium option that allows for certain other things that you can do, but the basic coverage is free. So if you want to get the premium stuff, it costs you $29 per year to get. Like, and then you can add more filters and more tags and stuff. But this one is kind of coming on and coming into the fray when it comes to people like Asana and Wunderlist and stuff like that.
That's what I was just wondering about. So this is a to-do list, a group to-do list manager for shared to-do lists.
Mm-hmm.
And you can share it with up to 5 people.
Yeah, and you can do it individually too. So it initially started out as a individual task manager, but they're adding the team component to it. And I haven't seen anyone do this as of yet. Other than, all of them have either started as team-based and then people have found a way to make it work individually. These guys have done it a bit the other way around. So I really like what they're doing. The design is clean. The look is very clean. And it's for those people who aren't into this kind of thing, it's one of those simple, scalable task management applications that I think is worth looking at. And the price can't be beat, really.
Well, and when I look at how I do my task management, I mean, I often use Asana, but it is better as a team manager. This one here it will stand on its own as an individual to-do list manager, but you can't share it with as large a team as you can with Asana if it's only 5 people.
Asana does 15 for free, whereas this one will only do 5. So yeah. It's scaling up slowly, but the nice thing about it is, again, I mean, it's got the email task stuff and all that, but I mean, again, the fact that you can, I mean, as someone who is starting to look at the Android platform going, this is rather compelling, and I've been using OmniFocus forever, to be able to switch to something that I don't have to worry about what platform I'm using,
yep.
That's a big bonus.
Good start. Todoist. Okay. Sean.
Well, following up on the task, I was going to go with a similar type of app, but I'm going to actually change that up at the last minute.
That's why we tell you to have a few extras.
I'm going to start out with an app that I've recently been reviewing and writing about. It's called Buffer. And
yes.
I know, Steve, you're familiar with Hootsuite and using them for managing your social media. This is a little bit more of a scaled-down version where it focuses more on sharing your content. So if you're going around the web and you find a post on your Feedly or on the any websites that you want to share with your users, you can easily add it to a Buffer queue that'll periodically put it out throughout the day, so you can set up a schedule, quickly populate that schedule, and then it'll post it at various times. So you don't have to constantly manage your social media throughout your workday. You can set it at one point and go forward.
So this is really designed. So is Buffer? And I've never used Buffer. I'm a Hootsuite user, and mm-hmm. I use the Hootsuite Pro version. Mm-hmm. And I do schedule tweets through the day. So correct me if I'm wrong, but does Buffer, is it for when I see something that's interesting that I'd want to retweet or share, rather than do it like if you're sitting on a bus, you might find 30 things on the drive home.
Exactly.
So what you do is if you put them into Buffer, it will then create a queue so that they're trickled out through the day?
Exactly. So if you're familiar with the scheduling function of, say, Hootsuite, it's yeah. basically that, but it's done in a really well-integrated way. So they have an app for the iOS, they have it for the Android, they've got a web extension, so if you're on your browser, so anywhere you see content that you want to share, you can quickly add it to a queue rather than having to go to your Hootsuite account and manually put it in.
So Hootsuite we use to do a whole range of things, including research, following, you know, setting up custom lists and all that sort of stuff. Do you do that in Buffer as well, or is Buffer primarily all about sharing?
This is primarily all about sharing. They're making it easy for you to share. If you want to monitor your lists, that's where Hootsuite
is. So a lot of people would use both.
A lot of people find using both a winning combination, because when you're on the go on your phone or whatnot and you want to share stuff quickly, I know a lot of apps like Flipboard and Feedly and all these ones have Buffer integration. So all you do is click the button on a link that you like, and it's added to your queue. So then I'll retweet whenever it's up for the queue.
To be fair, they've added Hootlets now in your browser and stuff, and a lot of it I'm seeing an increasing number of things that it'll automatically schedule right within Hootsuite. But Buffer looks pretty good. What do you use, John? Because you're always tweeting like crazy.
Twitter.
John is just a purist. He doesn't use any of these. Any of these newfangled apps.
My big issue is I have too many devices across too many different platforms. I mean, it is compelling for that reason, but tomorrow I might have a different thing that they just don't make that app, and I don't want to rely on any one thing. So, and also, I'm not a brand, or I'm not, you know, pimping something. So,
and John is increasingly trying to be a curmudgeon too. He's working at it. Time for a quick break, Art. We're going to take a quick break. Return with round two of this month's App Thursday.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
It is time for round two of this month's App Thursday show. And as is our custom here on Dottotech, the winner of App Thursday wins a wonderful prize package from our good friends at Rome Mobility. And I know there is going to be some heated competition, because Beeler says that he just used up the last of his minutes on his Rome package. And I know Vardy is heading off to New Orleans in a couple of weeks, so he's probably keen. Are you going to the States anytime soon, Sean?
No, I wish I was going to South By, but
Yeah, these guys are all probably heading down there too. So, round two, ding, 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 ding. Beeler, what do you got?
All right, I have an iOS app, and it's meant for health professionals, but they don't seem to check your credentials at the door. And I think this might be better than just Googling whatever ails you. It's called Figure One. It's a photo sharing app for medical professionals. And it's got a really interesting way of organizing whatever's wrong with you. You can do it by anatomy or by specialty, and you can see photos of what that thing you think you have actually looks like.
Oh, this is already sounding gross.
Yes.
This is just plain nasty.
Yes. Yes. So you might not want to try it.
So do you take a picture of your...
You can.
And then you put it up there and they have somebody diagnose it?
Well, then the doctors or other health professionals can tell you what the problem is. But it's really meant for sharing.
But anybody can sign up. So just don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So somebody could be posting a picture of...
I don't know if they're moderated, though. I'm assuming
so
they are.
So you, as John Beeler, could be going in, what you got there is a hemolytophilitis.
I have a feeling you have to be in the program to actually comment on stuff. But it's really interesting way to look and see what does a vascular whatever actually look like. And I have photos of it here now.
You have a horrible case of athlete's foot. And you're like, that's not my foot.
Oh. You know what I've been getting on my webpage? You know, ads served to me. I don't know why. Has anybody gotten this toenail fungus ad that's appeared? There's this guy with a hideous foot, and they've got his toes are just grotesque with this fungus that's eating away one of his toenails. It's a good thing that we're on after dinner hour, because it's been appearing in my, it's been being served to me occasionally by Google. I don't know why.
Why? Well, on Google. Okay.
It's just, you know, they serve you custom ads. And so I don't know why they've chosen that one to me. I don't know what I've commented on in the past. Maybe because I clicked on it because it was so gross in the past.
That's probably it.
No, actually, I didn't click on it. What I did was I took a snapshot of it and I shared it on my Facebook page. And people were actually saying, I'm unfriending you, Steve. I actually had several people unfriend me. So you should let Lola know that
that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
It's not what she wants to see in her newsfeed.
Figure One, is it free?
It is free, yes.
iOS only?
And as far as I can tell, yes. But it does appear to be, basically, it's community... vetted as I'm just looking through it further now. It's community vetted as far as, yes, that actually is what you think it is, and people voted up.
You should go see a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting because it's really meant for healthcare professionals in the hospital setting. So there's some pretty graphic photos in here if you're curious what that stuff looks like.
Oh, I'm not. Okay, Art.
My app is not as disgusting as John's. In the beginning, I remember months and months ago when John first started doing his App Wednesdays, he would bring gadgets in that would go along with his app. So today, I decided to bring my gadget. Mike can't see it, but it is essentially what it is. It's a DJ turntable sort of.
Oh, you got that.
I did. I saw it at Staples and it was on sale in the bargain bin. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool? Because I really only use my iPad for playing games, and I feel like I should do something a little more useful for it. So what I have is the iDJ To Go made by Ion Audio. And along with it comes an app, which is really cool. So essentially, I can turn, and during my radio school days, I performed and DJed many weddings for a company, Gary Robertson, and I had to bring along like boxes of CDs, and the guys before me, like a year earlier, the guys were still using cassettes, and we're talking 1999, 2000. Whereas now, I literally can load up my iPad with enough songs, 500 songs if I needed to, but in reality, you need only about 40 or 50 onto my iPad and play. And it has all the it's so basic, it doesn't even need batteries. You plug it into your iPhone, your iPad, or even an iPhone, and you have a full turntable CD / turntable outfit where you can play songs. You can fade between both of them. You can actually even create different sounds, and if you really wanted to go the next step and change the the pitch so you can crossfade.
Waka, waka, waka,
yes,
waka.
You can even scratch.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So how much was it in the bargain bin?
The bargain bin, I bought it for $30.
Awesome.
I think about 6 months ago it was something like $80, a year ago it was $100.
Yeah, it was $100 for a while, because I was actually looking at getting that for a while too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it quite that cheap. I might have picked it up.
So you're going to start playing weddings again?
I could.
Because you know who's getting married.
Who's
Maffin.
That?
Maffin's getting married, so you should hit him up, see if you can play the wedding.
Yeah, I think I still remember all the first 10 songs I'd play for every wedding.
What are they?
Like Dancing Queen, Old Time Rock and Roll,
good.
Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah.
And then after that was like more dated stuff, like Mambo Number 5, probably not as popular. It's not as timeless.
No.
And then Stairway to Heaven.
Well, that's usually near the end when all the burnouts, so you're still wanting to stick around.
The last song. Love. Got it. Okay. So what is it called?
It's called IDJ To Go. The letter I,
yeah.
DJ, and then the number 2, G-O.
Now, do you ever think you're actually going to use it?
There's I have so many toys that I never think I'm going to use. But the idea is that if I needed to, I just dropped $30 and I could be a wedding DJ again. Or party DJ. Or I could just...
It's a little bit of job security.
Yeah. You need it.
Add it to your LinkedIn account and let's see where it goes.
Oh, yeah. I'd take a picture of it.
See, at least this you have. I can see it there. This one is a legitimate entry. Well played, sir.
Thank you. And I don't even think... You don't even need the device. You can still play it. You can still play with the app without box.
Yeah. The app is pretty cool.
Okay. Mr. Vardy, top that.
Well, this one is one of my favorite apps on my iPhone and iPad, and it's called Drafts. And I don't know, I know I'm big on capturing everything that comes my way, but what I like about Drafts is it's an action-oriented application. So what I can do is I can get my ideas down, so whether it's going to be for a blog post, whether it's something that I'm going to put into Evernote, whether it's a task I'm going to throw into OmniFocus or things or whatever, or even a appointment I'm going to throw into Fantastical, I can enter it into Drafts, and then what Drafts does is it has an action directory that allows me to send it to the app that I want to send it to out of a selection of apps that they've got built into the system.
So you take notes on a blank page. Once you finish the note,
yep.
You then determine which of your productivity apps it is going to be distributed to.
Yeah, or my writing app or whatever. For example, if I've got a brainstorm for a blog post and I start to write the post in Drafts, I then forward it to Byword when it's ready to go to Byword. it. And the nice thing about it is I can either archive the post in draft so that it stays there in case, you know, just, and I've never had this happen, but in case it doesn't make it to Byword, but also that way I've got like kind of a record of where it's there, but also, you know, I mean, so yeah, I can send things to Evernote. So for notes, I can do that. You can do reminders that way. I just like having one point of entry. It's like one inbox, right?
So it's kind of cool. So that, like if you start a phone call with somebody, you just open up drafts, and then whatever, and then if you're making an appointment, it's an appointment. If you're making a note that's going to go in Evernote, it's a note.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, that's pretty cool. How much does that cost?
It is $2.99 for the iPhone version and $3.99 for the iPad version. So there's a bit of a difference there, but it's, I mean, it probably just mainly due to sizing.
Is there not an iOS or a Windows app?
There is no Mac app or Windows-based app for this.
That seems like an oversight. That seems to me the place that I would want to use it more than any other is right on a computer.
Yeah, Agile Tortoise is an iOS developer. The guy behind it is Greg Pierce, and he's basically been developing for iOS. I don't know if there's plans to develop it for the Mac or even a web-based one. Like, because really, this is like kind of like an IF, you know, and if this, then that, or a Zapier to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
But I really like the fact that if I'm on the go, I mean, and I don't, you know, I just want to, you know, jot something down, or, I mean, this is perfect.
Yeah, on the go, that is perfect, because, yeah, you, as you're running around, drafts.
Yeah, drafts.
Nicely played, sir.
Thank you.
We're going to keep you around for the second half today. Sean.
Awesome. All right. So the next app I've got is called Chimpadee-Doo, and it's actually an extension for MailChimp. And what it does is it allows you to turn your iPad into a virtual sign-up form that you can have in your store, or what I use for a lot of clients is when they go to trade shows. And what the great thing about it is that it doesn't require any wireless or Wi-Fi signal. So it'll collect all your newsletter sign-ups, and it'll hold it in the local hard drive. And then once you are done the trade show, you go back to your office or into a Starbucks to get a Wi-Fi signal, and it'll automatically sync them all up to your account. So it's a great tool. It's free, and it works on both iOS and Android tablets.
So that would be ideal for, say, a realtor in an open house.
Yeah, that'd be awesome
for that sort of thing. So it signs up, and it only works for MailChimp. It doesn't work for any of the other.
No, it's strictly made by MailChimp for their platform.
Chimpadee-Doo.
Yes.
Now, does it give you alternate capture methods? Like if you're at a trade show and there's barcodes or people's badges or cards, can you take pictures of them, or is it all typed in?
I know they've got other apps for doing QR codes type stuff, but for this, it's strictly just taking your form and making it a mobile version so you don't have to carry a laptop around with you all the time.
Can you customize the screen?
Of course, yeah. You can add custom backgrounds, add your branding and everything. I've used it with a number of clients.
So it's like making an embed code for your website, except it's living right there on your iPad.
Yeah, and the great thing is so you can even lock the iPad so that if you are leaving it unmanned at a kiosk, for example, they can't hit the home screen and go back into the iPad and start playing around. It'll actually just lock it at the form.
All they can do is put the form in. Chimpadee-Doo. That's actually pretty cool.
So if you were at, as you said, at like some sort of function, you give them the iPad and they type in their name and their email address and it gets logged in?
Exactly. Just like you would have any forms on your website.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm. For registering people to gather names for a mail list. But it's only going to be for MailChimp.
That's
Got
okay.
It. It's okay. It is okay. MailChimp's a good client. Wow. Wow, what a diverse collection of apps we have already in the hopper today.
But let's be honest, who doesn't love music? I'm just saying.
Or gross pictures.
Well, let's just stick with music for now.
I'm not sure we've seen the winner yet. But we'll see. We're going to take a break. Return with more of App Thursday in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
We are at the halfway mark of this month's App Thursday. We have Sean Kennedy, a rookie, along with Mike Vardy, another rookie on App Thursday, along with John the Beast Beeler and Art Factora. I got to come up with a good nickname for you, Art.
Well, I was hoping you would go with the Beast, but I guess if you're going to give that
well,
to John.
Well, the alliteration works for Beeler. And you've been often called John the Beast, haven't you?
No.
Never.
Just by you.
Not by a man.
just so everybody knows, John is deeply committed to his Google Glass. He did come in again wearing the Google Glass. Now, did you wear it over the entire Christmas season?
Yes.
Did you wear it in 100 Mile House when you visited there with your girlfriend?
Yes.
Did people beat you up in 100 Mile House for wearing Google Glass?
No, they actually knew what it was, and they were really intrigued by it.
Awesome.
Really? They didn't think it was witchcraft or something?
No,
they...
no.
Now, don't be mean to... Our family property is just a few miles away from 100 Mile House, so I spend a lot of time in 100 Mile House. And there's fine folk up in 100 Mile House.
There is a... I was there over the Christmas holidays, mm-hmm. and Boxing Day, there's one electronics store in 100 Mile.
Yes.
I won't say the name, but for some reason, and apparently this isn't just Boxing Day, they had like 18 people working the store. But apparently that's common because it's the only electronics store in 100 Mile. And they all knew what it was, and they were all excited to see it. And they're wondering why I was in 100 Mile with them. So
you were a rock star with Google Glass.
Apparently.
Good. Yes. Why did the light just come on? What were you looking at?
I just tilted up. If I tilted, it comes on.
Yeah. Okay, because you're not taking a picture of me all of a sudden.
No, I could just wait to do that.
Glasses. Okay, good enough. Fair enough. Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll just go right back to John with round three.
All right. I have an app. It is kind of expensive. $6.
Ooh.
Whoa!
But you can learn a new language
crazy.
With it. So there's a programming language called Python that is very common, especially with people that use Raspberry Pis. A lot of web stuff is done in Python and things like that. And it's called Pythonista. And it's a really interesting way, and it's actually, as far as I can tell, it's the only embedded language available on the iOS platform, which it kind of contradicts Apple's rules about how this stuff all works, because normally you can't even have a text editor that renders JavaScript. It has to all go through Apple's protocols, and through you have to render it in Safari and stuff like that. But this actually is, it's a teaching tool for learning how to program in the language. You can actually write code in it with a code editor. You can export it to GitHub and other places. And you can actually preview it and run code on your iPhone or your iPad.
I'm getting chills.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Pythonista.
Pythonista?
Yes.
Pythonista.
Yes.
So you're going to learn how to write code Python.
Right.
You're not learning Greek or Spanish. You're learning...
Correct. It is a computer language. Yes.
Okay.
But it's a very common programming language, and especially with the popularity these days of the Raspberry Pi, which is a $25 to $50 tiny computer that lots of kids are getting to learn how to do embedded microcontrollers and various types of programming. To be able to put this on an iPad and have a really slick code editor that you can actually test your code and then export it to something else so you can actually run it on a Raspberry Pi or something like that. It's an amazing... It's fully documented. It has training videos all embedded in the app. Like, it's a really slick package. And I'm still kind of shocked that it's available on this platform because this sort of isn't supposed to work this way.
Now, I have to ask you, since Art has set the bar so low... Did you buy it?
I did.
Okay, fair enough.
Right here,
the
proof.
Funny thing about Pythonista, too, is that I just talked about drafts, and people use Pythonista with drafts all the time to chain things together and stuff.
Yeah.
It's totally one of those things that the Mac, especially the iOS nerd community, is like totally gravitated towards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I just came across it the other day, and I'm like, okay, I have to buy this because this looks really cool. And I do a lot of Python stuff with my Raspberry Pis, and I'm not an expert by
now,
any...
Is the primary reason that you're doing that around 3D printing or for other things?
Okay. Other things. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. We just got into the deep end of the nerd pool.
We've been swimming around there for a while.
We've been flirting with it, but we just jumped in with both feet.
Yep.
Okay, Art.
Our hair is wet. My next app, speaking of languages, but this is a language for not nerds. my app is called Duolingo, and it was voted Apple's 2013 App of the Year. It is essentially a learning game. And the languages, I just started, so I am learning a bit about Spanish, and it's good for me because, as you know, I'm going to the Philippines at the end of April, and the official language of the Philippines is called Tagalog, which is kind of based on the Spanish language. So because they don't teach Tagalog on here, I figured the next best thing is to learn Spanish. So it incorporates touch, sound, and sight. So you play games to kind of learn how to learn a new language, which include Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, Italian. And I suppose if you don't know English, you can learn English too.
And how much does it cost?
It is free.
Which is why you've chosen it.
Hold on. And
I do have one question for you.
Hold on. First, do you know what this is?
Yo soy una niña.
I don't know what that was.
That is the Spanish for I am a girl. So if I need,
I
learn.
Could you say it again? Could you say it? No, you say it. I hear you say it.
Yo soy una niña.
Okay. So we're going to dice that out of the show, and now I can use that often. Just a quick question about the, is it pronounced Tulog? Tulog?
Tagalog.
Tagalog.
Yes.
You were raised in a Filipino household.
Well, yeah, but
you are Filipino.
I am Filipino, and
I
understand.
I'm looking at you. You look Filipino.
I understand a lot of it. I've realized that after, you hang out and you kind of absorb it. But nobody in my family sat me down and said, this is a chair. These are shoes. They would say...
you are a girl?
Yeah. they would never say you are a girl. So I know when you're... I'm at the point, the first generation of Canadians who came from immigrants, we know when we're in trouble. And we know when somebody's going to try and steal our kidney. But we couldn't carry on a regular conversation.
Fair enough. Okay.
100%.
Fair enough. And I'm one to talk. My dad was an immigrant from Italy, and I never learned Italian.
See?
So, yeah. But, yes.
So you know my pain.
I do.
Well, now go get Duolingo.
But I don't look Italian. So you're visibly, obviously.
Well, the spaghetti stains on your shirt don't help, though.
That's not spaghetti.
Okay.
Okay, so Duolingo to be able to function better in the Philippines. Awesome. Okay, Mike.
I've got one that's actually about learning as well a little bit, and it's an iOS app. It's one that I've just come across not too long ago. Again, it's kind of going to help me read better on my iPhone. It's called Velocity. And it's $2.99, but what it does is it actually allows you to build your reading speed by actually posting things that you've got on your phone, whether it's through your Instapaper or Pocket or Readability articles, one word at a time. So it actually flashes them on the screen, and you can set how quickly you want them to go. So, for example, the average reading speed is normally about 200 words per minute. So you could start at that and then, like, slowly work your way up. But it allows you to kind of avoid what they call sub-vocalization, which allows you to kind of read and interpret, not just read faster, but also absorb it. And you can save things using the Safari bookmark. There's different reading themes you can use, so that way if your eye strain, like, you can use sepia if you want or whatnot. But you can read text, rich text, whatever, and even Word documents that come from mail or whatever, and you can even share things if you want and brag about how fast you're getting if you want to socially share it. But I really like it because I don't normally read on my iPhone because the print is normally too small.
Yeah.
But for this, it's just like, and it I can adjust it as I go. It's really slick.
So it's filling the screen with each word?
No, just to the dead center. So it's not. It's a larger font, but it doesn't like fill the whole screen. But it basically goes by as quickly as you set it. So
do you have a physical, like? Is there a slider that you can slow things down or pause it?
Yep, absolutely.
Is there a repeat in the last, you know?
You
5
can,
seconds.
You can scale it back. Yep, you can slide it back. There's no actual go back 30
okay,
seconds.
Okay, so you slide back and forth. And so you're reading one word at a time. It's almost like a teleprompter, but
And you can increase it too. So if you want to read two words at a time or three words, you can do that in the settings as well. And the other thing is you can change the font if you want. It's really kind of slick because for those people who do suffer from like dyslexia, they do have a specialized typeface that's designed for dyslexic readers as well. So
confuse them or to help them?
I think to help them.
Okay. Now, you mentioned reading comprehension is increased by reading this way?
Well, the reason is, basically, your inner voice kind of keeps you reading from achieving higher reading speeds. So basically, by being able to read these, you're going to get much better comprehension because you're reading one word. You're not trying to skim it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, okay.
And that's what happens. So it kind of silences that inner voice. So you're absorbing the reading material faster than the voice can actually kind of keep
up. So you're not anticipating that business of looking forward and then having to reaffirm by going back.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's pretty slick. I mean, it's a $3 app, so, I mean, but for those of us who save tons of stuff to Pocket and to Instapaper, like me, it's good because then I can whip through that queue a bit faster.
Does it work for books?
If you bring the documents in, absolutely. But it doesn't work as, like, it would have to be a Word document. It's not like...
It's not going to read an EPUB or another type of... Okay.
No, not at this point. They may go down that road, but it's really slick. I like it.
Velocity. I am intrigued by Velocity. Good one. Okay. Next up, we've got Sean.
I don't have a learning app to add to this whole session, but I'm going to change it to a little bit more transit related. Specifically for Vancouver, there's an app called Buscouver.
Yes.
And it's one that I use on a daily basis because, let's face it, we all hate waiting for buses. And so what this app does is it's $2.99 for iOS, and you can enter in the 5-digit code for any bus stop, and it will let you know when the next bus is coming, all in real time. The great thing about it is it allows you to save all your different bus stops as well, so you don't always have to know. So you put them in once, and it'll save your most frequent buses.
At the bus stops, there's that texting.
Yeah.
But it never works.
Well, I find there's always a delay. I mean, my girlfriend uses that, and I've tried it, and it's like 30 seconds back. I want to know now.
Yeah.
I'm time is now money type thing. So I use this. I've got my 2-3 different bus stops that I use on a daily basis. So before I leave the house, I can open it up, check the bus stop. Oh, 4 minutes. Okay, I got to go.
Is it basing that on the real-time GPS in the buses, or is it basing it on the schedule?
I believe it's based on the schedule, because there's been a couple times when I've gone down and it's been either running late or a little bit, but it's usually quite accurate.
Buscouver for transit takers.
Yeah.
There we go.
We've gone three rounds, and I don't think we've repeated one app from before.
The guys have brought their A game, and we've got some good apps now. We've got some good apps to choose from. Time for break and return with the final round of apps.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We are down to the final round for this month's App Thursday. I have Sean Kennedy, John Beeler, Mike Vardy, and, of course, Art Factora, all competing for the grand prize, prize package from our good friends at Rome Mobility. So, John, your final attempt, sir.
I have an Android app that I wish I had on my iPhone.
Oh.
It's called Wi-Fi File Transfer.
Okay.
So it's a very simple app. It's free. You run it, and it basically creates a web service on your device that anyone else connected to your network can access. So you can share files that are stored on your Android device, stored on your SD card that might be connected to your Android device. And basically, everybody else could just pop up in their browser the URL that's displayed right on the app. You can go there right now if you guys want to. And basically, you can download anything I decide you can download off of my device. So if I want to share the latest episode or the final episode of Sherlock with you, you can just go grab it right off my phone right now.
Wow. That's pretty cool. It's kind of like AirDrop on steroids.
Exactly, yeah. But it's like zero setup or anything. You just press it, and then anyone on that same network uses this address, and they can get to it.
So really useful in a team environment if you've got a PowerPoint presentation or something like that you want to share.
Yeah, that you don't want to put on Dropbox and not go through all that stuff.
Do all the other devices need to be Android as well?
No.
Or?
No.
No, eh?
No.
There we go.
It's completely cross-platform. It's just a web service, basically.
Wi-Fi file transfer. Free?
Free.
Free! What a deal. All right, Art.
My app is also free, and it is also a file transfer. It is called Box. Not Dropbox.
Yes.
It's called Box.
Box.
50 gigs of free storage. I just was able to download it this last couple days. And, who doesn't need that much extra space?
They're taking on Dropbox. They're trying to take on Dropbox.
And I think it's self-explanatory. You can share it. I was looking on. I haven't been able to use it yet, but there's also kind of a social media add to it where if you're working on a file that you're sharing with a friend, you can also make notes on the side, or a coworker. You can make notes on the side to keep the conversation going to make things easier.
Good stuff. Yeah, Box is an interesting one. I've been kind of keeping my eye on it. They've been doing a lot of very aggressive marketing. I don't know whether they're going to be able to take on the 800-pound gorilla that is Dropbox, but they've got a chance, I guess. I see one of the other major competitors, SugarSync, kind of has kind of jumped the shark this week. They've shut down a bunch of people's accounts and are starting to charge a lot more, and I think that they might be in a little bit of trouble. All righty then. So we are cooking right along. Mike Vardy, what is your final entry?
This one is called Trip Saver, and it's both for iOS and Android. And the cool thing about this is it's a budgeting app for when you're traveling. Mm-hmm. But one of the cool things I like about it is that there's an interface called Travel Type, and it has some predetermined budgets based on the type of style of travel you're doing. So backpacker, budget, mid-range, luxury, or you can use a custom thing. And then what it does is based on how long you're going to be there, it determines how much you should be spending per day, gives you graphs and charts. So it's something I've been using quite frequently but when I've been traveling, so I don't blow the bank when I leave town. So
now, how much are you budgeting for the New Orleans trip?
I'm going with the. I'd like to go custom, but I think I'm going to go mid-range.
I think you're better.
And this app is $199 for iOS, and actually on Android, because it was the way it was introduced, it's actually free on Android right now. And it's still. It's still in its early stages, but I like it. It's simple and it works.
Good stuff. All right, the final entry comes from Sean.
All right, with Valentine's Day coming up, I'm going to go with a little bit of a romantic app. This one's called Couple, and it's at couple.me, and it's an app for two, they say. And what it does is, between you and your partner, it allows you to create a private chat where you guys can chat with each other, share images, share lists. It basically creates a whole environment for just you guys. So they even have an interesting little feature where you can do what they call a thumb kiss, where you both touch your screen, it'll vibrate type thing. It's a great little app for people with long distance relationships and whatnot, and I thought the timing would be good to just sort of bring it up.
Steve doesn't finally appreciate anything that has to do with the opposite sex.
That's simply not true, but this one has been brought up before. Rebecca played this one.
I know.
Yeah. In the past.
It's to be called Pear.
Did it?
Yeah, I think a name change.
Oh, okay. It's a good app. It's cute. And I liked it. As a matter of fact, it was a contender last time, I believe, when it was used. So here is now where it gets complicated. So I'm going to select each one of you. We're going to work our way through, and you're going to have, out of the other person's four apps, you're going to choose one, which will be our final list, which I will choose from. So, John, I'm going to get you to pick from Sean's list of Buffer, Chimpadee-Doo, Buscoover, or Couple Me?
I don't take transit, but I'm probably going to pick Buscoover.
Buscoover's a good choice. I like Buscoover. Yeah. Buscoover's pretty good. I might have gone for Chimpadee-Doo.
All right.
Sean, you might as well do John's. Of John's ones, Cover for Android, which is a custom lock screen. Figure One, the gross photo sharing app. Pythonista, or Wi-Fi file transfer.
Ooh, they're all good. I think I'm going to have to go with Cover. I mean, I'm not an Android user, but that's just a cool app. I like that. I see that being very usable.
I'm surprised. I would have gone for Pythonista, but okay. Mike Vardy, looking at Art Factoras, the Horizon Shoot and Share, which is almost disqualified because he won't actually buy it or use it.
But
I should not say anything.
There are three leveling modes. You can just rotate, rotate and scale, or disable. So your question about whether or not it changes while you're moving, you can do that.
Good. Okay. Way to read the spec sheet. IDJ to go, Duolingo, or Box?
You know, I've actually played a little bit with the first one, so I'm going to go with Horizon.
Oh. Factora, picking from Vardy's, Todoist, Drafts, Velocity, or Trip Saver.
I should say that I think all of Mike's apps were expensive, so I wouldn't buy any of them. But if I had to, I would have to go with Trip Saver because we all know.
Now.
We all know where I'm going.
Yeah, you're not.
But
you're not taking the one that you know is going to win.
Well, no, I just
you just you just
it's
you
the
just
one that
it.
I would use.
You just played dirty pool.
It's the one I would use.
You just played dirty pool because Velocity was going to be my choice.
I know.
It was the one that I had. So we have Horizon Shoot and Share, which has zero chance with me. Buscoover. So colloquial. Cover for Android. So, you know, I am the king. Velocity wins.
Nice.
I'm going off the board. I'm sorry. It's such a cool app.
I have the applause ready to go, but it's not going to get an applause.
Are you going to do the do you have the raspberry ready to go?
No. Sad trombone.
We're going to make it a duel. We're going to make it two winners this week. We're going to make it Velocity and okay.
I got the applause ready.
Horizon Shoot and Share. But it's a tainted semi-victory for you, Mr. Factora.
A win's a win.
No, it's a tainted semi-victory.
In
I'm
your
just
eyes,
saying that.
A win's a win.
It's tainted. It's tainted. Congratulations, Mike Vardy. We will be in touch. You'll win the prize pack. And I'm going to actually tell the guys at Real Mobility to make sure that Art's prize sucks. Okay.
With that, prize is a prize.
With that, Sean Kennedy, thanks so much for coming in. Will you come back?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. John Beeler, awesome job as usual, sir. Thank you for coming in. I am Steve Dotto on behalf of runner-up winner in first place, Art Factora, and our champion, our new champion, Mike Vardy. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.